Hello. And of course, we're talking to you via your speakerphone, so we're giving you your voices some work out here too.
I hope you can hear us better than we can hear you. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Barely.
Okay. Yeah, I gotta be away from the phone here, or I blast away the audience. Can you still hear me?
Go ahead.
Well, okay. Well, you guys have been involved in a struggle at the Aptos Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center for the rights of young people to be able to be in public spaces without harassment. Is that accurate?
Well, probably a little bit. No.
All right. Well, clarify. What's going on there?
Jerry's been working with those young people down there. My role has been to try to protect him from the cops. Jerry's been down there trying to protect the young people from everybody.
Well, that's something that evolved, too. I think it all started out by them attacking me personally.
Well, Jerry...
down there, and Richard came down to try and secure my safety in the town square, in public down there.
Well, Jerry, you spoke earlier to me, and I've heard a lot about you. The first time I've actually talked to you was this morning. You've been a sort of a street minister for, what, several decades now?
Probably 20 years.
And you've done this where and with whom?
Originally I was with Lighthouse Christian Fellowship and down on the Santa Cruz Street for years prior to the earthquake. And then we have a settlement up here in the mountains in Aptos, my family, and we've had kids. In fact, I have a young man at my place now, came off the streets when he was 15 in Santa Cruz, and I guess he's pushing 30 now.
But
it's something we've always done. I've always been active in the church. When I say minister, it's just been ministering the needs and stuff. I don't consider myself a preacher or anything by any extent.
Well, what kind of needs do you concern yourself with?
God, it's just people hurt down on the streets in different ways. I think Richard, for a number of years, has considered me his chaplain.
Is that right, Richard?
Oh, yeah. Jerry's he's the spiritual advisor for the United States Freedom Fighter Movement, of which I'm the senior consultant, and me personally. You know, yeah, when I need to know something about what God may hold an opinion on, I certainly go to Jerry to see what his experience is in that regard.
And Jerry, you say you spent some time on the Pacific Avenue area, helping young people there. What kinds of problems did you see that attracted your attention?
Homelessness, one of the biggest issues. Kids on the street at 15, 16 years old, 18, you know, it doesn't really matter what age. Being a support to where, you know, they're not walking utterly solo, that even if it's an emotional problem, physical problem, that somebody's there that cares.
Mm-hmm. Well, then how did you wind up getting interested in what was going on at the Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center in Aptos?
Well, it really never was my choice. They were pretty much the moving parties, and I think it's probably pretty similar to what you've experienced down in Santa Cruz. I call it the Disneyland syndrome, that they built Disneyland, now they want to write the script on who can be there and who can't. And the problem is it's not really Disneyland, it's the community where we all live. And that they have seemed to got this attitude that some people are acceptable and others aren't, and the ones that aren't acceptable need to move along. But being part of the American Freedom Fighters and stuff, I just don't believe that's their call.
Now, the American Freedom Fighters is an organization that's concerned itself with a number of different concerns. One of them is the helmet law, I understand.
First of all, just so we don't get confused, it's the United States Freedom Fighters. Not to be confused with Freedom Fighters of America, which is the High Times Little Rights Movement, but United States Freedom Fighter Movement deals with anything that sits up in front of us, and it's not an organization so much as an attitude.
And so, what was your attitude when you first appeared down there on the Aptos Mall, Jerry?
Oh, I was somebody living in this community, and I just happened to be down there one day, and it was happened to be a rainy day a couple of years ago, and a little security guard, you know, they're giving billy clubs and mace to these young security guards.
You're talking about First Alarm Security?
Well, I call them First Attack in the comic strip.
I see. Oh, yeah, and you write a comic strip?
Well, the comics, yes. There's been a comic strip that's evolved out of all this.
Mm-hmm.
And,
so you were down there and you saw a security guard approach someone, or?
Oh, no, he walked up to me, shoving me in the chest, telling me I was going to be moving along, and I just came out of Safeway with a gallon of milk. One of my kids was in the liquor store getting some tobacco, and before he could get out of the liquor store, I had the security guard thumping me on the chest.
And what was your response to this?
My response to that was, leave me alone. Why are you touching me?
And what did who was the security guard? Did he have a name?
I don't have it in front of me. It's in the police records and stuff.
So you had an interchange with him, and what was the upshot of it?
It has just gone on and on and on ever since then. It was like the sheriff's department didn't want to listen to it. I actually called the sheriff's department, and I met some really good deputies. There was a deputy that came in and met with us, and I've tried to, you know, proceed down the road ever since, and they've just never... They seem to have this agenda on who they're going to have in their community and who they aren't. And it's involved in where the sheriff's department's even grown and got involved into it.
And how... well, let me ask you this. What... Did you file a complaint about this security guard? Was there some... Did the security guard file a complaint against you? What happened?
Oh, I filed a complaint for assault, and a report which came out and written, and nothing ever done.
And what was the next time you encountered any problems down there?
There has been utterly so many that it's just been unrelenting.
Give us the highlights. Or the lowlights, perhaps.
I mean, the lowest point, I think, had to have been this Christmas Eve when I think a lot of people will relate to this name. Officer Thurber had to come up and arrest me to give me my Christmas present. Took me to jail for Christmas Eve just for standing there.
Tell me about that.
I was out in front of the liquor store, and there's not a lot I want to go into because it's a case that's going... It's not my case, but there's another case happening down at Santa Cruz on the 3rd over another young man that was charged with resisting arrest, I believe, that day.
Was this the case of the Christmas Eve break-in?
Well, it was the Christmas Eve. They took me to jail for being at Rancho. They never charged me with anything, but they arrested another young man that night, and I'm going to be testifying in his trial the 3rd of April.
Well, we discussed a case about a month ago about a man whose house was broken into on a marijuana case, and his mother was involved in it and so forth. Is that the one you're talking about?
No.
Okay, sorry, my confusion.
This is your old buddy, standby deputy Thurber, just coming down there, handing out his idea of Christmas greetings to everybody. Cut them up, haul them up, lock them up in jail.
And what was he? What did he charge you with, Jerry?
Richard, no more exactly.
Yeah, violating a restraining order they got that keeps him out of the line of sight of some guy that runs a roasting company who is traumatized by the mere sight of Jerry Henry.
I'm kind of familiar with court orders because I went to jail for violating one myself 2 years ago, and the court order told me that I couldn't serve food to homeless people, and I told them to forget it and continued doing so, and they sent me to jail for a month, but then, of course, no further such enforcement has happened on anybody else in Food Not Bombs in San Francisco. But apparently, what's happening with you, as I understand it, and we've had conversations, Jerry, with Attorney Kate Wells, who's been really outraged and indignant about what's been going on down there, is a number of merchants have decided that you're advising young people about their rights sort of alarms them, and you're, as a consequence, they have sought to have you prosecuted for interfering with a business and gotten a restraining order against you from being in the area and tried to actually let their authority extend even to the outsides of the stores, which are supposed to be not just open to the public, but public areas. Is any of that accurate?
Well, it's virtually word for word, yeah. That's right on the money.
Jerry, any sense of have you assaulted a merchant down there? Have you been stealing merchandise or engaging in lewd sexual behavior with young people? What's going on?
Well, I've done none of that. What I've done is I live in the, you know, I've been that's the town square. That's the town I live in, and basically it's just that I live there. I've even had the sergeant that opened up our sheriff's substation there. Tell me that he knows I have problems, and why don't I just leave?
By that, is he referring to the fact that you have a disability, which has to do with some kind of psychiatric disability, but it has in no way made you violent or abusive as an individual?
I believe that probably makes me maybe a little different than the normal person down there, but basically I believe a lot of the problem has been them. They've been the moving party all along, and
by them you're referring to the sheriff's department and to merchants who are filing complaints
and first alarm
security guards.
Yeah,
can you give
primarily it? But I want to put in that I've met some really, really outstanding police officers down there too, sheriff's deputies.
Well, I understand that you, we've actually gone into some of your cases in some detail in past shows, but you do have three charges coming up, what, April 10th, is it?
Yes.
And are you inviting people to come and support you in court?
Oh, that would be fine with me. I know that there are a lot. My witness list right now is probably running about 50, 60 people.
So there's going to be a long line around that building, I guess, when the show goes down.
Well, we're at Watsonville.
Oh, boy. So it's a ride for most of us from Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
This is before Judge Heather Morse.
Yes.
Well, heaven help you. She put me in jail for 2 days, essentially in violation of a superior court order, and never apologized. But, hey, that's another matter. If you get enough people there, and if the case is clear enough, even she may be forced to adhere to basic standards of justice.
You have me up on a year's charges right now.
So what are you charged with? Give us kind of a capsule description of what's going on.
Three counts of 602.1 are the charges, and 602.1 is an addition to the trespassing charge that came about in 95. And the story on that's for another show, but it's pretty funny. Anyway, the intentional interference with the business is what the charge is, and there's no stretch of the imagination that would encompass these situations for which he's been arrested and being charged. I mean, they can't make their case.
In fact, I might put this in that first day they arrest me, which is Memorial Day, this preceding year, I was literally inside a store trying to conduct business with two really neat young men that own Scab and Aptos here in Rancho Del Mar.
And Scab is the skateboarder shop?
Skateboarder shop. I was in there trying to become an active partner in their business the day I was drug out of there and arrested.
And I understand you were arrested for because a salesperson at a nearby store in Birkenstocks first tried to discriminate against you and then became upset when you responded to that discrimination with some heat.
Yes.
Is that sort of an accurate summary?
That's kind of an accurate summary. And then I left their store and went next door to the store that I've been, actively participating with the owners.
And the police, as I understand it, told you, the deputies, that first they directed you to leave the shopping center.
No, this isn't the deputies. This is First Alarm.
First Alarm security directed you to leave the shopping center, and when you refused to leave, then they leveled a charge against you and arrested you?
Yeah, well, basically, I was in the store that I was trying to go into business with, and I told the deputy, it was a citizen's arrest by First Alarm Security.
Because, based on the complaint of the woman at the Birkenstock store?
Well, I'm not sure about that. In the police report, he says it's because of my prior conduct, but at this point, he believes that my name's Richard Quigley.
That's point of arrest.
I see. So, in other words, you were masquerading as Richard Quigley, which is a crime in any jurisdiction.
Well, it certainly could be to be mistaken for me. Yeah, they had him in custody in the car, ready to take him downtown before they figured out that he wasn't me.
So, in other words, they falsely arrested you.
All three times.
Well, are you getting ready to spend your lawsuit money? Guess you got to find a lawyer first.
Well, that's further down the road, A and B. So far, he's got a lawyer.
He has or hasn't?
Well, Kate. Why wouldn't Kate be a good one for that?
Might well be. Kate Wells is often very busy. That's the problem she often has.
No, she's been actively involved in this for...
some
year. Beginning.
Yeah.
A year now.
Oh, excellent. Well, then I'm hoping that she will
succeed. She's a wonderful Kate. She's already in the comic strip.
Well, I expect that you'll be getting us a copy of the comic strip too, and we can describe it over the air and maybe even pass it on the streets. I publish a occasional newsletter called the Street Shit Sheet, a homeless newsletter, and maybe we can chronicle some of the adventures of those wild and woolly first attack guards.
Can you say shit on the radio?
Well, I can and I do, but
just check it.
Yeah, but I do not actually shit on the radio. I want you to know that. That is considered to be inappropriate behavior, and I hold myself to a high standard.
Wrong. I mean, if I had known that, I'd probably said it earlier.
Feel free to speak the forbidden words whenever you think they're apropos, but don't overuse them or they just get tedious.
Sometime I'd like to sit down, Roger, and tell you more about this story.
That's Robert, but yes.
Robert, I believe it's been a real... there is a real story down there.
Well,
the public does need to know it.
Well, I think, we are focusing, of course, on your upcoming hearing at, what is it, 10 o'clock on April 10th in Watsonville Municipal Court? Is that... That certainly is something that needs to be attended. People need to come to it. But, the larger story, which this is really a distraction, is young people hopefully asserting their rights in the Aptus Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center. Can you tell me anything about that? How's that been going?
That's been wonderful. Some of the characters in the comic strip are our children, and they're just I think God really blessed Aptus with some phenomenal young people.
Are young people, less willing to assert their rights because they've seen what's happened to you, or are they angry at what's happened to you and more willing to assert their rights because it really outrages them?
Yes.
Which?
Both.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
Some of them have been scared by what they've seen happen and gone further into submission, and some of them have said, hey, screw this, and have started to stand up instead of cowering. So we've had both.
Well, what
am I tell you about the second? I believe it's the second arrest.
Okay.
That it took 2.5 hours, and I was talking to one of the children's parents that had stopped by, and we'd been talking for just a few seconds. Was standing in the sidewalk out in front of the roasting company, and Richard can tell you that this security guard don't like certain people standing anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And came up and proceeded to give me a bad time, and when called the police, well, I sat down at the table at the roasting company with a cup of coffee, and sure enough, the police showed up, and it's a two and a half hour process, and I think there's 20, 25 young people from our community there, and they do a silent protest. They sit there and watch the entire thing, and I mean, I asked them, you know, we don't need any trouble, and I asked them to do a silent protest. One of the young people said, "But Jerry, can't we say goodbye if they take you or if we have to leave?" And I says, "You can respectfully say goodbye." And as these children had to go home because it was getting late, they'd walk halfway out to the squad car and say, "Goodbye, Jerry, gotta go home." And really stood there and stood, you know, not standing their ground, but, you know, they've continued to live there. We have some awesome young people in this community. I believe some of the answers to our society and things should be, you know, that they could look to some of these young people to gain answers and stuff.
Well, you haven't abandoned going down to the Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center yourself, have you?
Oh, no, not at all. I think that'd be, you know, very detrimental to me. Emotionally, mentally. I don't think I could handle the depression. It's been a struggle. It isn't easy.
And do you continue to suffer harassment when you go down there?
Many times.
And what about the young people who were supporting you in these past, I guess, interfering with the business arrests? Have they continued to seek your counsel when you've gone down there?
We're very close. It's I'd say almost on the line of a family.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on the air and talking about this. I've just gotten a second guest in the studio here. I'm going to have to turn to him in order to shut him up, if nothing else. But is there more you want to conclude with, and perhaps we can arrange for, you know, kind of an update on what's been going on, how you do on April 10th, and more important, how people at the Aptus and Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center who are simply trying to use the public area unmolested are they getting successful in what they're, you know, and simply...
Well, let me point out that the object of the comic strip is to save Aptos, the village we love.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's really the heart of the children down there. I think it's the heart of Richard. Many of the characters in the comic strip, Kate Wells, myself, and I believe we have an awesome village.
Mm-hmm.
And I truly hope that we, right now we call it Craptos, the village we all hate, but our true desires is to return to Aptos, the village we all love.
You know, we may be playing an interview with Kate Wells later in the show that kind of goes into these specific charges further, and we'll be hopefully getting a tape to you on this issue, which you asked about earlier. But would you like us to give out your number, or for any young people in Aptos who are experiencing some difficulties, or anybody else who wants to inquire about this case? Would you like your number put out, or
no? Get a hold of him down there when he's at the shopping center. He can always be reached through those kids. They can find him.
Okay, so if you're interested in getting in touch, audience, with Jerry Henry, you can certainly go down to the Aptos Shopping Center and ask young people if they
know. Well, Judge Stevens has given me a bench out in front of the Aptos Liquor Store.
Oh, yeah, so you're in front of the Aptos Liquor Store with a bench?
Yeah, Judge Stevens gave me half of a flower box.
So he's allowing you to sit on half of a flower box, eh?
Yeah, so you're in jail if I go sit on the other flower box, but...
I see. Well, we can always thank Judge Stevens for his Solomon-like decision there. And for those who want to get in touch with you more directly, give a call to me at 423-HUFF, and then I will give you a call, and perhaps we can link you up with people who want to get in touch with you.
That'll work. That'd be great.
Okay, listen, thank you, Richard Quigley.
Yep.
And thank you, Jerry Henry, for coming on the air and letting people know what's going on in Aptos.
Nice job, Robert.
Thank you. Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you very much, and I'll look forward to talking to with you again.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that's Jerry Henry and Richard Quigley out there in Aptos fighting the good fight simply to be able to be in public spaces there in the Rancho Del Mar Apto Shopping Center. Quigley's problems, of course, as you may hear later in the show if we have time to play the interview, began when he challenged Sergeant Deverell, a sheriff's deputy who had requisitioned one of the parking spaces there for his new sheriff's substation and painted it red, apparently in violation of the law, appropriating for himself a special privilege which most of us don't have. Quigley challenged him on that, began parking his vehicle there quite legally, and they've never sustained a ticket against him, but instead Deverell and his friends reportedly have now gone after Quigley in extra legal ways, harassing them, and Quigley has won one case and lost one case, and that's a whole different story for another show. Free Radio Santa Cruz is what you're tuned to, 96.3 FM. Finally, the lines are open. We're going to play a little bit of music, and we're going to move on to our in-studio guest, David Silva. So stay with us on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
One example, numbers from San Jose, 97%.
Sorry, that's not music. We've got some music here. We are going to play some music. And here it is.
Get up, stand up, jump, jump, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up,
get up, stand up.
Don't give up the fight.
Life is your right.
Get up, stand up.
We can't give up the fight.
Stand up for your right.
Lord, Lord.
Get up, stand up.
Keep us stumbling on.
Don't give up the fight.
Yeah.
You're sick and tired of your ism, schism, game, dine and go to heaven in the Jesus' name, Lord. We know and we understand, the mighty God is a living man. You can fool some people sometimes, but you can't fool all the people all the time. So now we see the light,
what you
we gonna stand up for,
yeah, yeah.
So you better
get up, stand up
in the morning.
Get it up,
stand up for your right.
That was, of course, the notorious and late lamented Bob Marley and the Wailers, Stand Up For Your Rights. Very good idea. Here we have a man who's barely able to stand up for his rights after having been thrown into a pillar, a cement or is it concrete pillar at City Hall in September of 1996. That's the infamous David Silva, who's with us in the studio. Silva is... and was, I should say, a city council candidate. He now is involved in the committee to repeal the sleeping ban. Probably one of the most knowledgeable people around about the ins and outs of city council arcaneries and chicaneries. David, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Wasn't doing so good yesterday. I fell down on the sidewalk and hurt myself for a while, but I do have all that pain medication the doctors try to give me. But I'm feeling pretty good today. We have 2 months till our deadline to turn in our petitions for the initiative to repeal the sleeping ban. So those of you, those some 80-odd of you who have petitions, and we hope you haven't filled them up, start getting them back in. We really would like to know how many signatures we have. We have some pushes left. We had a kind of a bit of a fizzle on our big push day yesterday in terms of the SCAN community outreach, but we did really firm up our SCAN endorsement, so we are officially endorsed as an initiative, not just the cursory action item that we had before. We have today the Alliance for Democracy meeting. That's at 4 o'clock. I believe that's 500 Chestnut. That's right there, Chestnut and Walnut, where the family support building used to be. Alliance for Democracy is a large and growing group and going to be a very important group in Santa Cruz. It's allied with the National Alliance for Democracy, and they're about making changes in the basic system. One of the basic flaws with the system as it is represented and manifest in our own city ordinance is, of course, the sleeping ban. I personally believe that the sleeping ban and the way it is written is not only a human rights violation, but is a scar on the heart of Santa Cruz. It keeps us from having as much heart as we should. It's a wound on the mindset of police manners, and keeps the police from behaving as human as they would like to. This has to be changed, and we're going to change it, but we need you to do it. As many as possible of you who don't have your packets, if you could show up at the Alliance for Democracy meeting, we will be handing out packets, and we are encouraging people to actually walk your own block, at least, to walk your precinct, to walk your own neighborhood. The biggest error that people are having with citywide petitions is people from outside the city signing them. By walking a precinct, we have the precinct list, you are guaranteeing that signature is actually in the city limits. So we encourage that kind of activity. If you have your own style of petition signature gathering, hanging out outside the Nickelodeon on Pacific Avenue, going to events, we want you to meet us any Saturday at 1 o'clock at the back porch of Loudon Nelson Center. We'll give you a little training on how to make sure not to have those signatures become invalid signatures. That seems to be a real important issue with city initiatives these days. The city clerk had assured us that we could have a 10 or 15% safety margin, but it looks like we need to have more like 40 or 60% safety margin with the kind of